Ready?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, welcome back. Appreciate y'all for listening to us thus far. We got episode 7 here. A very special guest in the building. The resident DJ of the Bhangra & Beats Night Market in San Francisco. And he also just dropped a brand new EP called Horizons, out now everywhere. It's a Bhangra EP. Highly recommend y'all check it out. Please welcome to the show, Folk and Funky, Mr. Ravi Sandhu, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys. Glad to be here.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, man. Thank you for coming out here. Where'd you come out from?
From Oakland.
Okay, yeah. It's a drive.
Yeah, appreciate y'all coming out to Yuba City, man. I know it's kind of in the middle of, it's kind of out there, but, you know, hopefully it wasn't too much of a mission for you to come out here.
It wasn't bad. Yeah. I was actually meaning to come to the Sacramento area anyway, so it kind of worked out. I was able to see some friends and then made my way out here.
For sure, man. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, tell us about your new EP. I know, like, one of, like, the trends that we've seen as, like, folk Bhangra fans, right, is, like, this kind of, you know, you look at, like, the top artists in Punjabi music right now, whether it's Aujla, AP, Diljit. I would say out of those three, Diljit is only, like, the only guy that is, like, capable of producing, like, classic, like, Bhangra music, right? So we've seen kind of, like, the top Punjabi artists, like, move away from that, and your EP went back to like Bhangra music. Like, talk about, was that kind of like the intention behind it a little bit?
Yeah, that was definitely the intention. I mean, for me, like, Bhangra music is, that's my roots at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah.
Folk music especially. So over the last few years, I've been working with a lot of artists and kind of doing what they wanted to, like, keep it in line with their vision, which is more like on the hip-hop side. But then I decided, you know, I want to go back to doing what I feel comfortable with, what I really enjoy. So just start knocking out some, you know, straight Bhangra tracks, added different elements to them to make it a little bit more contemporary, but definitely wanted to, you know, stay true to the roots.
For sure, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, we want to, like, learn about your story as well. Like, how did you get your start in DJing? Like, was it something that you always kind of had a passion for, or did you kind of, like, get a knack for it as you got older? Like, what's the story behind that?
Yeah, man. So I actually grew up in, like, a family where music was kind of like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my dad used to sing when I was growing up at local events in the Fresno area, because I grew up in Fresno.
Oh, wow.
And he used to perform at an event called Punjab Night. So I used to go with him to this event. And it was kind of a place where people in the community could showcase their skills. Like, people would sing, people would dance. Lasing Patti used to bring us Bhangra teams there too. So my dad became acquainted with him. Then eventually I started learning Dol from Ustadji as well. But as far as DJing goes, so two of my cousins, they started their own DJ road show when I was growing up, DJ Wicked, and then my cousin Sunny, DJ Sick with it. And I used to just go with them to different gigs. It was like an excuse to get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And help them set up stuff, take stuff down. And then when I got to college, I started learning how to beat match, like, on hip hop music.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bunch of Bhangra CDs, so I started beat matching Punjabi music too. And when I would go with these guys to their gigs, they'd be like, yo, jump on for a little bit. And so I'd start spinning, and they'd be like, you know, where'd you learn how to do this? Like, this is hella dope, right? So it just kept going. And that's actually how I became acquainted with Amr, because he used to be the dole player that would play with Hap back then, and back then was one of the rawest, and still is one of the rawest dolies out there, you know. So it was always fun just jamming with him. And then around that same time, I was learning dole from Lasing Patti, so I would play alongside Amr, or alongside Raju as well. And it was just a great learning experience, you know, playing with two of the best, and it gave me an opportunity to practice and kind of improve my craft along the way too, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that Lasing Patti tree just, like, runs deep, man. I mean, we have, I think, all three of you at one point, right? Simran, you had a lesson from Ustadji as well, right? Everybody here except for me, because I'm the youngest, has had some sort of interaction. Yeah, of course.
He stamped his name everywhere, basically.
Yeah. A lot of guys.
Yeah.
He's a legend in his own right.
Shin that learned from him.
Yeah, that influence on
everybody who produces folk music. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I'm in here as well.
I'm in here. Yeah, that's a big one. It was a video. I mean, still processing it because we're pulling it from like a VHS tape. But it's a video with I'm in here playing Dol for Suffri. That's like, I think that was like right before he dropped like Ground Shaker.
Nice.
You know, so like no one knew who Amin Hair was, and he's like Dolli, and then, you know, becomes a producer. That's kind of basically like you were a Dolli, and then now you're like producing music and you're a DJ, right?
Yeah, so I actually started off as a DJ first.
Okay.
And then I started learning Dol a little bit after, not too far along after, but Then eventually got into music production. You know, in between that was like making mashups and remixes, and then eventually just went all into production.
Okay, yeah.
So you took the opposite route, because Umar, right, you started out as a Dolly, and then you went into DJing, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, with all the roots are the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get one thing going, and you kind of can experiment other ways.
Yeah.
But what you did, it helps learning one thing, and then you can open the doors for so many things. But that's life, right?
Yeah, for
one
sure.
One talent or one skill, and then it equals so many more.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, I was living in India when I heard your album Back to Bhangra.
Oh really?
Yeah, or was it? Yeah.
Back to Bhangra.
And I was I had no idea. You know, I'm living out in India, just finding whatever finds, and you had like straight folk album with like, you know, Surinder Shinda on there too, and that whole album goes hard.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
yeah,
that was like 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
2014, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, time flies. Yeah, but yeah, that same thing with that album, the focus was to, you know, make it folk and lean more on the traditional side. Then we actually collabed on a track called Grundia Mucha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right. that had like a little Western feel to it, but I really wanted that like live Bhangra Dol. So we recorded Umar like in two takes to make it sound like, emulate like a live Bhangra show, right? Because the vocals were by Puppy Gill, and he's one of like the OG singers out there, for all the live teams. So wanted to capture that live Bhangra energy and, just do something different.
How did you get like Buffy Gill and like Surinder Shinda like on your album? Like how does that even work? Me and Umran are not like,
we're just fans.
we don't know how that process works. Like how do you gotta like reach out, or like, you know,
there's different ways. I mean, back then I would just reach out to them directly, like on Facebook or something, or find their email. And there also used to be resources back then, like websites where you could buy vocals. So for a few of the songs, I purchased them through, you know, one of the websites. But for Shinda, like, I reached out to him directly. Same thing with Puppy Gill. And I've worked with Puppy on a few other songs since that time as well. And he's actually written three of the songs on this album, Horizons, and he sang on one of them as well. So I've been fortunate to have like a good relationship with him over the years.
That's dope. Yeah. Puppy Gill, I feel like, he always gets I feel like a lot of like people out in Cali, we like, he'll be on like someone's album, there'll be a song out here. I don't know if that's just like a Cali thing or.
You have access to him, you know. I think Ravi could probably relate. He's been producing longer than me, but like, I feel it's really hard to get your leg in with an established like current singer.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably tell you this, the same thing. It's so hard. Like, it's so hard. Like, say, like, I mean, Ravi's been producing longer than me, and I'm not near where I want to be, and I'm not sure where you are, where you want to be as far as like a producer, but like. Like, let's just take someone like Icky, like, for example, mm-hmm. right? He came in the game after Ravi did, right? But he's got access to everybody now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not saying he doesn't deserve it, but there is, like, a little level of, like, okay, how do we go to the next place?
Yeah.
Right? It's hard. And, I mean, I'm not in a rat race with anybody. I'm sure you're probably not either. But I'm just saying, like if there's, like, a huge curve there to get, like, Puppy Gill, why he's accessible. We have his WhatsApp now. Right?
Yep,
can tell him, yo, we need a song, he'll cook us up something tomorrow. And we have writers that are not known but want to get their name out there, that we can like tell them, yo, Paji, and then like in 2 hours they'll throw us back some badass lyrics. But then you gotta find a singer who's gonna match it. So we have access to Puppy, right? But we don't have access to like people who are gonna say are relevant.
Mm.
Right? Not taking anything from Puppy. But just say, like people will come to me and be like, yo, why don't you do a song with Jazzy? Well, that's not up to me.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's my homie, but he's going to look at what I've done. And if it's not to his caliber, he's going to be like, you know, real talk, bro. It's not there yet.
Hmm.
You know, or he's going to say, no, I mean, there's so many other guys. He can pretty much do a fucking track with anybody.
Yeah.
There's so many other guys. Well, you know, you got to give him a reason to say, we're going to give our vocals to you.
Hmm.
And that's probably a challenge you're having, too. I'm just assuming. I mean,
yeah. So actually, back in the day, I used to reach out to a lot more singers. You know, like 8 to 10 years ago, and eventually I realized, you know, the big time singers, they're gonna come to you if you have a sound that they want. And they might come to you, you know, for one or two songs, or they might come to you for an album, like whatever it may be, but you have to cultivate that sound. Like if you look at like Diljit, he went to Truth School to make Back to Basics, right? Truth School didn't reach out to him. He went to Truth School because he knew he had the sound he wanted, and he's like, you know, this guy's going to give me the product I'm looking for. So rather than reaching out to all these big time singers, my personal philosophy is cultivate your sound, perfect what you want to do, and it has to resonate with you, right? That's mm-hmm. the main thing. And if it aligns with what a singer wants to do, they'll reach out to you. But Amr made a good point that, yeah, Papi Gil, he's very accessible. There's a number of singers in the industry who are accessible, and they're talented too. So, you know, you can utilize them to cultivate your sound along the way as well.
So, yeah, I think Amr, you would probably agree with that philosophy too. Like, you want to make music as a producer that speaks to you, right? Like, you're not going to try to tailor your sound to a specific artist in the hopes of like, oh, maybe this person will mess with it.
Do you not, especially today, 2024, like we could release our own EPs or tracks, like Love You just released his, and it's really good,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to go out, and it's going to do what it's going to do. He could, of course he wants millions of hits, and we all do, right? But that's truth is, it might not happen, right?
Yeah.
But you got to live with the good and the bad if it does, but you still got to keep pushing it because you never know. You know, it might take Ravi 15 years, it might take me 10 or 20, but it took Icky like 2.
Yeah.
Right? And, but this, you know, to go, we didn't grow up in a top DJ, top family like maybe he did,
mm-hmm.
you know, where he got to learn rogs, sound, you know, that's all a huge learning curve for any producer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, it's there's a lot of challenges that people think it's easy. It's so hard. People will say, hey, you take a sample of this song, like let's take Pass Out, right? The song, I think we talked about this. Like that we were talking about, like you take a sample of Yeah, and then even if you take a sample, people say you jacked it, be okay. Is it easy to do? Hell no.
No. Mm-hmm.
Making a song with any sample you take, like a main song, say if you use Sexy Red or something like that, something popping right now.
Yeah.
Okay, put that in front of you and make it work with some Punjabi. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy at all. You got to make sure it fits the key, and there's song structure you have to know, right? So there's so much more to it. But like, kind of piggybacking off of what you were saying about Icky, another thing I've noticed with a lot of these big time producers, especially the ones from abroad, is they actually went to India. They stayed in Punjab and they spent time out there. Like I know Intense did that as well back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Icky did that, and they're all in it like full time. Whereas us here in California, we all have like, you know, daytime jobs or lives or careers or, you know, different situations going on where you're not investing as much time as some of these other guys too.
Right. Yeah, that's real. I mean, that's like us, right? We're this is for fun. We're not like we don't got the crazy budget to have a crazy studio. Yeah. You know,
so. You always aim for
I mean, you have another job, right? Like you're probably doing something else on this, or is this like full time?
No, I work in tech full time.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah.
So yeah, music's definitely the passion. You know, it's the outlet at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You work a full time job, and then people don't know how long sometimes one song takes.
Yeah.
It could take you an hour if you're lucky, very lucky. But most songs, like I've made like only a handful of songs, right? But they've at least taken me, I would say, 12 to 15 hours each.
What kind of like dictates that? Is it just random, or like if it's just like you find a flow and it just works?
It's something that works, right? Yeah. And you're like, okay, this sounds nice.
Yeah.
And then it's just all about getting it how you want. Like mm-hmm. people think it's easy making a beat. It's so hard.
Yeah.
You know, and then AI is helping, like, and then ghosting. Like a lot of people don't, there's ghost production is huge. Like there are people you guys, I think I talked about this before, but like there's people you think are producers, they haven't fucking done a thing.
Yeah.
They're just sending it to India and Baji Cardo, and here's your $500 or whatever they want, and there's a track.
Yeah.
And they're big names.
Yeah.
And you learn when you're in industry who's doing that. You know what I mean? So.
That used to be really common. Definitely like 10 years ago or so, especially like in the UK, like every UK DJ, and not to like hate on them or anything, but every UK DJ had like a track with Lambert coming out, or like a track with Miss Pooja coming out. You're like, wait a minute, why do they all sound the same? You know,
two guys doing it.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, as fans, like we're on the outside, right? We're not in the industry, so like we're just consumers, right? So like going back to what you were talking about, like every, like the whole process of making that beat, right? Like we just hear it and we're like, all right, we can like pick apart like the different like sounds on it, but there's probably a whole world of possibilities and processes that goes into that. Just like any other work of art, like if you're making a painting or something, right? Like you see the end product and you're like, oh, I could probably do that if you were just making like a carbon copy of it. But if you're making it like originally, probably takes like, it can take weeks, months, you know, who knows, right?
Yeah. To have like, yeah, I mean, that's like a talent, you know, making, yeah. I mean, this is all art in the end of the day. And yeah, it's a lot of, creating stuff is, you know, that's a hard thing to
and
do.
And you got the biggest thing is like putting out a track, and Ravi, you'll probably relate to this. You got to be able to deal with people saying this fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. And because you got to put it out there. Yeah. You got to put your face on there. You got to put your marketing on there. You know, he got a sick picture of him on the Golden Gate Bridge, right? So fire, by the way, right? And like, you got to be like, you're going to deal with people saying, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know, like Aki, like I dropped a song called Cactus Club, right? Bodleia, right?
Yeah.
And people are like just watching a 30-second reel. That's another thing you got to deal with.
Yeah.
You got to deal with people watching a 20-second reel and be like, why would you fucking drop a song about Cactus Club? Like half the people don't know what it is. And number two is like, listen to the song. It's a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But people
it's
don't have.
It's like, it just, because the two lines in there say cactus. The rest of the remaining four lines mention nothing of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? But I mean, you're competing for people's attention spans, which are already taken up by like a million other different things, especially now in like the digital world. Like even for us, like we'll make these, we're pretty cognizant of the fact that like the vast majority of our attention is going to come with our reels, right? Yeah. Like our little 30 45 second clips from our podcast. Like more people are going to watch those than watch or listen to the entire episode, which can be disheartening at times because we put so much effort into like the full episodes, but that's just kind of the reality of like the world that we live in right now. So you just kind of have to work within that.
So you got
to
spend hours on a song, like I'm sure Ravi has, I have, and then you got to deal with people going,
You
get them for that, for putting in hours and saying, oh, it sucks, oh, it's good. You know, I'm guilty of it. I mean, I'll listen to stuff and I'll be like, I like it, and then I'll just add it to a playlist, right?
Yeah.
If I like it. If I don't like it, I'm like, you know. But I think that's just how it is.
Yeah.
That's the world now.
Yeah. How did you create that photo of you on the goal? Did you, was that physically you there, or is that like
I wish, man. No, that was Photoshopped.
Oh,
damn. So I might get arrested if you go up there.
Yeah, there's a graphic artist that I've been working with for a number of years, so I had him put that together for me. But I've heard of people, if you know like someone who is an engineer on the bridge, sometimes they can like sneak you up to
one of
the towers. Yeah.
I would never go up there.
It's so windy up there.
I know, it's just like, are you on those things?
Yeah. Like,
for real, yeah.
For an album cover.
Yeah. I'm big into mountain biking, but I'm still like super afraid of heights.
Yeah.
I don't know, like those two really go together.
It's like Steve Irwin, he went to like every animal, every time of John Ledefu went after him, and then he got killed by like a stingray.
Never hurt
anybody.
Yeah.
You go to like an aquarium.
Yeah, you can pet a stingray.
Yeah, that's right.
I think you do it in Vallejo, right?
Yeah. That, every time we just like, I ain't touching no freaking thing.
Yeah. For real. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah. And then I mean, like, for you guys, right? Because you're not like A-list celebrities, right? Like, I feel like people like Diljit, for example, like if he drops an album and you listen to it, and maybe you don't mess with it the first time, like most people will be like, oh, I gotta listen to it a second time. But for you guys, it's like you get like one shot, and if people don't like it the first time, like they're probably not gonna listen to it again, because like I don't know who this person is, like why would I like spend my time, like how is that, like how do you guys kind of deal with that? You like just kind of like, is it just the passion that just like fulfills you and just makes you like keep going? Like,
yeah, it's definitely the passion, man. And also like to be in music, you have to be confident in yourself.
Yeah,
if you don't have that confidence, you're not gonna last,
right?
So as long as you know what you're working on, at least you like it, you put your name behind it, you know, you put your all behind it, and you feel good about it, you're like, I don't really give a fuck what other people say.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And over time, the more you do it, you kind of do build this following of supporters who do reach out, and they're like, oh, I really like this song, I really like this part of this song, right?
Yeah.
And they stay loyal with you. And so, you know, that goes a long way. And plus, just with social media nowadays, you see the negative more than you see the positive, right?
Right.
And there's people out there that might like it, but they're not going to comment like, yo, I love this song. They might just save it, add it to a playlist. It's the haters that are going to come out and leave the comments.
Yeah,
so it's like you just take a grain of salt and you move on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's another part of it too. You've been you dropped an album like 10 years ago, right? And you're still like continuing to like, you know, make music. You also, I mean, you have that song also with you made like a music video, you know, like that's all you know, all that all that stuff you're putting together is all coming out of your pocket, right? So, like, you know, yeah, I mean, thank you for, like, you know, giving back to the culture.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I mean, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. You know, just keep pushing the envelope forward and just doing what resonates with you, what feels right. Because at the end of the day, this is all supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Right? And there is obviously a business aspect to it. You have to be kind of business savvy. But if you're not having fun, then it's like, what's the point?
You know? Do you know, like, when you, like, when you had the album, what song was going to hit and what song, like, what song you knew that was going
to
be like?
Not really, man. No. It was just a work in progress. I was actually going to do 6 tracks I cut it down to 4. And then I swapped out one of the tracks at the end and I put Supreme in. That's track number 3, and that's actually doing the best.
Yeah, because that was like, that track hits.
Yeah, so we're actually shooting a video for that track in two weeks. So that one, just the numbers wise, is doing phenomenal compared to all the other tracks. So a lot of it is like coming into it, you don't know what's going to hit. Sometimes certain things might resonate more with people than others, right? So you just never know.
Videos, like he's talking about videos. Videos are a big, like, investment. Like,
yeah,
you're gonna, you almost think, like, in this day and age, do you need them? Like, me and Jazzy had this conversation before, like, I was like, bro, do you really need music videos? He goes, I don't know. He goes, reels do just the same thing. But he goes, if you don't do it, you're not doing the A to Z job. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just like leaving something off. Yeah. You don't know what that video is going to do for you as far as, like, it could grow the song more. It could grow your streams, whatever it is, right? But you still have to do it. But shooting videos, people think it's like, if you think it's fun, it's not. I hate it.
It's a lot of work.
And I don't hate it because I don't like being in them. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But the process is like, tough.
I bet. I mean, this. I mean, you saw it today.
Yeah.
Today
was this is just one shot.
But think about still, we're not moving around.
I know. Yeah. Like, moving locations.
Change your cup dealing with the model or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
All the different people that are involved. If you got, like, Bhangra teams and stuff. It's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
A lot of coordination. You got to have a team. Usually you want, like, a team for that, right?
Yeah.
That's like a, I mean, I think that's also, like, another thing too. Some of these artists, they have, like, teams, right? Like, they have, like, a, do you have, like, a team like that? You, I mean,
like,
you
a consistent, like, director maybe, or somebody
I'll go through phases. Like, I'll work with certain people for, like, 2 or 3 projects and then go to somebody else, you know? So it just varies. Depends on what you're trying to accomplish. Depends on the time of year, how busy people are, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these videographers, they do weddings and stuff on the side as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music videos are kind of like their passion. So it depends on people's availability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for Cactus Club, like, you guys did, like, each individual person, right? Which did, like, a take, right? In the same location. Like, was that easier for you guys just to coordinate?
It was actually weird. So I did mine in Vancouver, and Raju did his in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And Sani did his in India. So I just had them, like, the videographer send over the camera settings to the other ones, how to shoot it. And then we had one editor do them all.
Okay.
So it was just a lot of moving parts, and like I said, like, it's just the numbers are good for what we invested. The numbers are great, like, as far as shares, likes, comments, and all that.
Sure.
Good or bad, you'll take them, right?
Yeah.
But you know, on a marketing side, what you do with your insights or your numbers, right? And music video, we were like, how are we gonna do it? Mm-hmm. One guy's in India, one guy's in Toronto. You know what I mean? Even if I stayed out of it, how am I gonna get the two guys together?
Yeah.
Right, so it was it's a challenge. Like, Puppy's always like made a video problem, right? Like, I understand, I get it. He deserves it, but it's like, it's gonna be a different whole vibe compared to if he was next to us,
yeah.
Right? Then we could tell him, like, you know, put this on, and then they go prepo, or like do this action, and you don't have that. Yeah. It's gonna be a whole different spectrum.
Yeah,
you recorded a video, right, with Puppy? Or
that's no, not with Buffy actually.
But like he's like singing on the track.
He sang it, but we had someone else emulate the vocal
portion of it.
Yeah, so Buffy wasn't actually in the video.
Yeah,
that's a thing you see a lot. Like they do it. I mean, I feel like they do it to females a lot.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
I mean, like, girl age.
I was literally just about to bring that up. Yeah. Like, Sukha gets heat because he'll have Girlez in his songs featured, right? And then the music video, it'll just be like a model, and I'll hear, like, especially like women that I know be like, why isn't he, like, you know, like, he should be, like, holding her up, you know, like, she should be included in the video so she can get that exposure, right? But I feel like it's probably not that simple. Like, it's probably a lot of
coordination.
That's
coordination part,
because she probably spends most of her time out in Punjab.
Yeah,
so just coordinating her schedule is probably really hard.
I think she's in Texas where she lives.
Oh really?
I think if I remember correctly, she lives in Texas, and then she obviously she's probably in Punjab a lot too, but like it's the distance, right? He's wherever he's at, she's wherever she is at. Like, get together, put this big production on for a song that, you know, when you're making the video, initially you don't know if it's going to do good or not. Mm-hmm. Like they just dropped the Das Jukta because it did really good.
Mm. Right? Oh, yeah. that is a thing too, right?
Yeah, they wait.
Yeah, you. Yeah. Well, I think like a lot today, people will listen to. I have this thing where I usually don't like to watch the music video until I've listened to the song first, because you get like opinion on, you know, like someone directing a music video is going to be a lot different vision than the artist.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to, it's not, yeah, they don't, unless you're like Raf Sapera, who literally is a director too, right? Own, so he does like, you know, you're able to do that type of style, but I mean, yeah. So like music videos sometimes also will sway people, you know, good or bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like music videos, like anybody, I always ask people this too, like in my circle, do you guys watch music videos? Oh, my dad or my mom would throw it on when they're drinking on a Friday night. Basically, in their backyard, in the patio, or like in Canada, they'll throw it on in the basement, right? Like, they'll throw it on, like, and the back, it goes on the background. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's a background thing.
During a drinking session, right? Or something like that, right? So it's like, that's why I kind of like contemplate the is it worth it type of deal, right?
Yeah.
So like, but again, you have to probably do it.
Yeah. Back in the day though, you could like go to new Delhi Palace or Bombay Video and get like the tapes. I don't know if you guys.
Oh, like the compilations, right?
Yeah. It would be like you'll buy a CD or like a tape and it'll have like all the music videos and you'd watch.
Yeah.
Like that was like the thing back in the day.
That was 2009, '08, '07 around there, right?
Yeah. And now, but now obviously, yeah, I mean, we have YouTube for it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Now most people just see it on Reels or TikTok.
Yeah. Like TikTok, like, I mean, like for Bernd They Get It, for example, like we talked about it on the last episode, like, I feel like if you were to make a song like that just went viral with like a TikTok dance, like, would you even need to make a music video? Because you have all these people that are doing it for you.
No one knows. If there's a video out on that song, no one knows it.
Yeah.
No one knew it when it came out. They know it now, 10 years later.
Yeah.
The dance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you never know what's going to go viral. Like, it's completely unpredictable.
No, you can't predict that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like super.
You just got to do it. And deal with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah.
You just, you know, let it, you just set it up, set it free, let it take a life of its own, you know?
Yeah.
But sure. I mean, going back to videos, it's actually gotten more affordable now to do videos too.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
that's one thing.
You know, like a lot of people have cameras now, actually good cameras, is good editing software that people can use.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back in the day, people would be renting those Sony Red cams, you know? Uh-huh. And now you don't necessarily need stuff like that to get things done. You can just shoot guerrilla style, you know? Use all your resources.
Use your phone. I mean, a lot of people be making YouTube videos off their phone, you know?
And that's true.
Yeah. People just spend like 30, 40, 50K on videos.
Oh, back in the day,
On
videos.
Yeah.
On videos. Yeah. Now, I mean, you're not even paying, you're paying a fraction of that.
Yeah.
I mean, production equipment and all that, and then skill. I think editing is like the part where, you know,
that goes a long way.
Yeah. You forget about that. You recorded this, now you're like, okay, now I gotta edit, and that's like, that's a process.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So you and Amr, you guys met in just because you guys were under the tree of Lal Singh Bhatti, or?
So when I used to DJ with Wicked and like play Dole with them, Amr would be there performing as well at like different private gigs and weddings and stuff like that. So I just met him through the wedding industry,
mm-hmm.
like back in the day, probably like what, late 2000s,
yeah,
around that time,
late 2009.
Maybe. Why did you choose him as the singular Toli for your music video? I mean, there's like, you know, so many Tolis, but you,
because
you know.
I had played with him a lot, and during that time he was playing for, I think it was Heat Up Punjab, and they were like the rawest live team in California. Yeah, so I was like, I want this energy in this track, like, would you be down to collaborate? And he's just like, yeah, let's do it, you know. So he's knocked it out.
Because you never, I mean, I feel like you see that in the UK a lot. They'll feature like a Toli for their song. I think they do like the Toll Foundation, or
that's right.
You know, they'll do, they'll be like a, there's another UK Toli I know that gets even like makes his own songs like all around his Toll.
Oh yeah, what's the Dole Blasters guy? What's his name?
I forget his
name. Gurcharan Mall.
But he does those like unity songs, right? Like bringing like everyone together. But yeah, like I don't think in the US we saw like a track that had a feature of like a Toldi, you know, before that.
Yeah, I think we were the first to do it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, for me, it felt right, because I'm like, I wanted to give credit where credit's due, right? I wanted that to be like a focal point of the song as well. So, you know, just capturing that energy, the live Bhangra energy, was like really important, and getting the right person to play Dol on it was like paramount, you know, for that project.
I have like a, like, sort of like, he's like a, he actually came to India during that time. You must know him because he was in your video, Jaskaran Thanoa.
He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, he was like, it was like so random because he like hung out with us in India. And then he's like randomly in your music video, and I'm just like,
Carney?
Carney. And I was like, oh, okay.
He coordinated the whole dance portion of that, got all the dancers together, got all the clothing, the vardiyan together. And then after that video, he actually wanted to direct a little bit, so he directed a few of my music videos after that too. So.
Yeah, I think he has like some, he has like a, like he played like some role in like one of your music videos, right?
Yeah,
like
he was the lead guy.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
that's small world.
Yeah, I mean, Punjabi community, you know? Super small. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So we mentioned at the top, right? The night market, San Francisco, right? Like, how long have you been doing that? How did that start? And like, what are your plans for the future? Is that something that you want to continue doing? And like, what's been your overall experience with that?
Yeah, man. The night market, we started that last year. So it's we do it with the city of San Francisco. It's like their initiative to get people coming back into the city and you know, to boost up the nightlife.
Yeah.
So it's funded, you know, through public funds. And it's free for the public. So we get like around 10,000 people per event. Wow. And it basically turns into like its own like festival, you know?
Yeah.
But the origins of the night market are this crew called Nonstop Bhangra that I've been a part of since like, it's like 17 years now, actually. And that started off as like a dance night in San Francisco to kind of get people together just to, you know, push Punjabi culture forward and bring together people of different backgrounds and introduce Punjabi culture to them as well. And it turned into a regular reoccurring club night. And it just kept growing. The crew kept growing. And it was all people who were just passionate about the music at the end of the day, you know. And yeah, just been thankful to be a part of that whole situation. It's been an amazing experience.
Yeah. How often do you guys do it? Is it like a monthly thing or?
So Nonstop Bhangra used to be every month pre-COVID. Then coming out of COVID, now we've just been doing very select events.
Yeah.
And the night market was this opportunity that popped up that we couldn't, you know, give up on, right? And if we're like, this is going to be amazing for the city and amazing for Punjabi culture out here in the Bay.
Yeah.
So that is, right now, it runs every other month. So our next one is November 15th, and it's going to be San Francisco's official Diwali celebration.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Should be a good one as well.
That's
and then we'll be doing an after party at like one of the nightclubs in downtown.
That's awesome.
And hopefully we'll be running it all back next year again. Yeah. So that'll be year number three.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. One thing, like I grew up in San Jose. There's Punjabis, there's six, but like my childhood group of friends is like, I don't have any like Punjabi friends. They're all like South Indian, Gujarati, stuff like that. And like I know a couple of my friends have gone there. And they've told me like it was sick, like the vibe is crazy, the energy is crazy. And I know like SF recently has been getting a lot of heat, man, because like, you know, whatever, the city's a little messy right now. We don't want to get too deep into that, but it's definitely cool that like there is a spot that people can go to. And like even like my parents have been, and they've been like, yeah, it's like,
oh,
a,
really?
Yeah, it's like they rave about it. So it's nice. Like a cool place for like people of all ages, cultures, like come together and just like experience that vibe. Like it's cool what you guys are doing, man.
Super that energy has been there with Nonstop Bhangra since day one.
Yeah,
because most of the people, so we get like two crowds earlier in the day. It's like usually a lot of non-desis, a lot of like people of other ethnicities coming to experience the culture. Then eventually, like halfway through the event, all the apne come.
Yeah.
Right? And so then you get like this melting pot of all these different cultures.
Yeah.
And people just enjoying music, and a lot of them don't even understand it, but they love the
I mean,
the vibe, Punjab, you know?
I think Punjabi music is just also really easy for
yeah.
You can dance to it, right?
Yeah.
It's just like you got drums in the back, so you know it's a. I look at like a. Always look at like jagos whenever we do like a jago, right? The whole element of it, like you ever do like an outdoor jago with like you actually have the jago with like fire, and then you have like you hear the tolls in the back. It's super tribal.
Oh,
like, we're very like tribal if you think about it. And I mean that energy will get you like anyone, you know, moving.
Yeah,
definitely.
So like like that like when you see like the reels of like your we call it the SF night party, it's like you feel it. Feel it because you see everyone else dancing and you're just like, damn, like that place looks like the vibe.
Yeah. And the cool thing about our music too is it mixes well with other genres. So we've actually had guest DJs at our night markets that aren't from our community. So this last one, we had Jay Espinoza, who's like one of the biggest DJs in the Bay. He's had residencies in Vegas. He's DJed at all the radio stations. And he was dropping a Latin set. And he was mixing in Punjabi music, but from his own perspective. And it was just, it was crazy.
That's cool.
It was freaking crazy. We were like, how are we going to follow up to this guy's set? Because he murdered it so hard, you know?
Damn, I didn't even think about it like that. That, whole, like, seeing like non-Punjabis make, you know, Punjabi music and, turn that all up. There's like that there's like a random like feature was like there's a that song 945.
Oh, that's right.
Have you heard of like that one there's like a track
there's with a
like
remix a, for it.
Like a Spanish version.
I think it's like Maria Bacares. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right or if that's the name. But she's like she has like a huge following in like South America.
Oh wow.
Right? She's like a big time artist, but like, you know, I was just like, how did that like how did they like meet or like how did she want to collab with like that song? Like, you know,
That was a dope collab.
Yeah.
And even Diljit, I mean, he collabed with Sweetie and then he had that Afrobeats artist.
Yeah.
And then Sidhu obviously collaborated with Burna Boy. You know, those are all massive collaborations across genres.
Diljit has that one song. I feel like no one really likes it. That song Pulpita. I love it.
Oh,
like,
oh yeah.
I think it's good. Yeah. That song's good. Yeah. But like, I feel like it's a little different, but, it's cool to see like, there's another one too, Sia, right?
Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, he did one.
Yeah. There's he's supposed to be dropping a song also with this other. I forget his name. He's like a DJ.
Diplo.
Oh,
yeah, that's been
Diplo.
Crazy.
Yeah. I mean that. Yeah, that's pretty cool to see like non-Punjabi. You know, that's
a non-Punjabi producer. Yeah, I mean, AP just did a song with Gunna too.
That's right.
Like, you know, there's so many collabs.
AP song with Gunna. That's fire.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just to see more of that, like non-Punjabi people make Punjabi music, be sick.
Yeah.
Now a lot of like American and Canadian record labels are investing into these artists. So like AP and Icky and all these guys, Intense, they're all signed to like major labels now.
Yeah, even Diljit, Johnny Nothing, and them, they got signed. Yeah, like Warner signed. Music.
That's
too,
right.
In Canada, so yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's the same label though. Icky's part of, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was just saying. Yeah,
but definitely like labels are definitely like investing more into like Punjabi music.
Yeah. Typical corporate go to
where the where the no, I mean, yeah, Punjabi music. I mean, you go on like YouTube just looking at views. I mean, what is it? T-Series is like, you know, runs YouTube, right? Yeah. So Punjabi music is like.
I don't know how much I trust those numbers.
Some of those
might be fake. I've heard about that,
That used to be a problem in the industry.
Like bots and stuff.
All the fake
like,
views.
Yeah. I remember like accounts.
I remember recently I was looking, I was watching Raph's Dola video when he dropped it, and I was just looking at the, I'm looking at the views, and I was like, oh, that's a natural number.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, the next day, or a couple of days later, I looked at it again, it was still a natural number. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I appreciate that, man. Like, the guy didn't buy, he didn't farm out any of his views, you know, like there's like and view farms in India and like a bunch of people. Well, they have some kind of crazy system.
Probably do. Just,
you can buy them. Like when I drop us like a song, usually I'll get tons of messages on IG and be like, promotion got me. Like, what is that? Yeah. And then like they're like, oh yeah, for like $100, we'll give you a million views or something like that. I'm like, oh, so that's what a lot of stuff's happening. Because sometimes you look at the numbers, like a song drops, and then you look at the views like 4 hours later, you're like, dude, there's no way that doesn't make sense. There's no way. Like in an hour, there's like a million views or like 900.
But if you're like someone like Diljit or Karnajala, that's totally possible. No.
I don't know, man. I'm not the most educated on this stuff, but like with the limited education I have, a lot of it seems kind of.
Yeah.
They call it promotion.
Promotion
kar lo. What is that? Sare karte. Bache comment ho gaye, bache like ho gaye, bache share ho gaye, sara kuch. Like, nah, that's not me. You know, I'll go with the low numbers. But that's why I salute Raph, because like what I looked at, I could tell he didn't buy anything.
Yeah.
It was just all real. And I appreciate real rather than people saying I crossed 900k views or something like that.
Even if you get fake views, it's not going to give you real fans, you know. Like there's all these songs that would get like crazy million views and you would never even hear about it. You know, you would never hear at any parties or nothing, so you're like, was this song really even that great?
DJ doesn't play your song. Well, I take that back. If your song's not getting played in the car or with a DJ, it's not getting a lot of views.
Yeah.
No, that's factual. In Punjabi music. I can't speak for other genres, but in Punjabis, we've all heard the same songs, and that's what we're listening to. And me or you might have like one or two songs that are outside that realm, but mostly everything's in that same circle. We've heard it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's a good point. That's the whole thing. Even like with this podcast, we don't have ton of followers, but we have engagement, right?
Yeah.
And that is the number one priority, right?
Yeah.
Like, we got you to come out here. You know, we got like 130 followers something or something, like that, right? Yeah. But I mean, we appreciate, I mean, like, getting engagement. That's the number one thing we want. You know, we're fans. We want to like find out, learn more about Punjabi culture, the artists that, you know, make it. And
I mean, the whole reason why we started, or not the whole reason, but one of the biggest reasons, was we wanted to support artists that are more like underground, like people like you and people like Amr, and like people that maybe don't get the love that we feel that they deserve, because it's such a competitive market, right? And like we were talking about before, like, you never know who's gonna go viral and when they're gonna go viral. Like, you could be, you know, working at this for your whole life and you might not get the due just for whatever reason, right? So we really want to make sure that we give everybody their flowers, right? Because we're like we said, we're just fans, man. Like, we just love the music and the culture so much, and we want to learn from the people that are producing and giving back to it. So
this is great what you guys are doing, man. There's a lot of talented people here in California, and we need more platforms like this to like boost up the scene, you know.
Yeah.
So it's great that you guys are investing your time and efforts and resources into this, and you know, looking forward to seeing how far this goes and how much it continues to grow, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we added Umar as a C. I feel like we're going in some upward direction.
You guys are going in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like just one thing you said about, like, I think you said that, you know, we deserve, like, people like me and Ravi deserve more of this. I think with Ravi and I, the way we are, I think we're happy where we're at.
Yeah.
If we go grow, great. If we don't, like, I think I'm that way. You know, like, of course we want to grow and get to the next level, but if we don't, I think we're completely content, because you have to be. You don't want to be the guy who's always after the most engagement or the most, because that may never happen.
Right? Yeah.
You gotta, like you said, you said earlier, you make music for you. You like it, and you put your name on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
100%. You might, like you said, go viral tomorrow, never go viral, which is highly likely, both things, right? But, and it doesn't matter. You got to be content, and that's what matters. Like, if someone's on the come up listening to this, maybe be like, oh, I want to be a producer, I want to be a DJ. You don't have to be popular. You don't have to be this, X, Y. You just got to be you and be happy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Is that mindset something that you've always had, or is it something that you kind of had to, like, get over that desire of, like, man, like, I wish I had more followers? And I'll extend the same question to you. Like, have you guys always just been like, you know, I'm going to make my art for me, and if other people rock with it, great? Or was there ever a point where you were just like, man, like, I really wish it would get more love, and you had to, like, kind of just, like, push through that?
For me, there was only one time I cared about followers. Mm-hmm. I'll be completely honest, I wanted to get to 10K because I can share links on my story.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Without having to send people, how do I listen to this? DMs, how do I listen to this? Well, click link in bio, and people wouldn't do that. So, like, that's the only time I cared. Yeah. After that, I was like, I don't care.
They changed it now. Now anyone can share.
Exactly.
It.
Yeah.
I know. So
that's evolution, right? Yeah. But that's the only time I cared. I mean, for me, it was never about, like, when I started, like, the mixtapes and stuff. I made them pretty much for my own workouts. That was 2016 is, like, I think when I made my first mixtape. Now I don't even listen to music when I work out.
Mm.
But I still make music, like, remixes, mashups, for people who I know, like, listen to it. And if I were to listen to music during a workout, what I would want to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Ravi? Is that, like, something similar mindset, or was there
a process? Yeah, pretty much the same mindset. I've always just done it because I enjoy it for the love of it, right?
Yeah.
I think there was a period of time, you know, it, like, maybe 5 years in, where I was like, all right, yeah, I want to, like, get to this level and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you try, you know, making certain types of music to fit in a certain pocket, and it just wasn't fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm just going to go back to what really resonates with me at the end of the day and just do it for the passion, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, yeah, that's something that we've discussed, me and Simran, is, like, as new content creators, whatever you want to call it, like, it's so tempting to just get consumed by, like, man, like, sometimes I'll make a reel and I'll be like, man, I think this is gonna, like, catch on, and, like, the artist will, like, you know, show it love, like put it on his story, and then it kind of just dies out. I'm just like, man.
Well, that's everything. That was gonna go, yeah. You can't be discouraged about that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can, like, someone could drop a song 2 weeks ago, Cotton, Raph, anybody, a week ago, we like it. The next week, someone else drops something, Mo Gun, Jazzy drops something, that this week we're on that hype.
Yeah.
And we've kind of forgotten about that. Yeah. And they know that.
Yeah.
That's just the world now.
Yeah.
Now it's like consistency is key.
Yeah, for
sure. Like you could keep putting out quality stuff, but if you only put out like once a year, every few months, people are going to forget real fast. So consistency is where it's at. That's why I think like Chani and Moga, for example, are doing so great because they've been crazy consistent for the last like, what, four years?
I just can't keep up
with them. Yeah, we just mentioned it on the last episode. It's hard to keep up with them. Yeah.
I'll hear one of the tracks and I'm like, dude, when did this drop? And then I'll someone, Sunny would be like, oh, it dropped like 3 weeks ago. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I mean, they dropped that recent track with Jazzy B too.
That's like a different track.
Yeah,
right? You got one of the goats on there, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah, that was pretty. That was pretty cool.
Dope track. I love it.
Awesome. Yeah. I loved how they sampled Googie on the Jordan in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. How so? Like, you see it in Punjabi music. I think even like with like Sidhu, they were like sampling, like Tupac. Like I know, like some if you go to like. whosample.com you can you'll see like you know they I don't know if they got like they actually got permission with who sampled. I don't know if that's legit
in our community. Probably not. It's like once you reach a certain level and the record label start taking note that oh these guys are sampling our work and they're doing some numbers, that's probably when they'll have to like get a certain type of license, right? Or give them like a certain cut out of it.
But
for the most part, if they don't hear about it, you're pretty much
so
safe.
So many people sample songs that went viral now that I think compared to 10, 15 years ago when like something got sampled that was going to get caught, now it's everybody sampling.
Yeah.
But even now, like a lot of software is getting really good at picking up on that. Like SoundCloud will pick up on that. Even YouTube now.
YouTube will pick it up.
It will tell you like, oh, this clip of this song is here,
copyright.
Right?
It'll do that. I loaded like some Midlove video up and it like pulled, like they had like the tape had like a B21 song and it, you know, showed the copyright instantly. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's wild. Yeah. That's great. You also work, I know that's your family, DJ GT, right?
Yeah.
He's also like on the,
He's one of the residents, Nonstop Bhangra and Bhangra Beats Night Market with us. Yeah. So it's myself, GT, and then Nix, who's a Bull Punjab there. So it's the three of us. We just rotate our sets throughout the nights.
And you guys used to, I know, I don't know if you guys still do that. You guys used to have like a Nonstop, or maybe that's just Nonstop Bhangra. You guys had like that at like a, like, I don't know, like, what was it, like a church or something? Or?
It's, it's like this, it used to be a church way back in the day. Now it's like a big event space. And so we had an opportunity to host some events there. And it's an amazing venue. It's
you guys massive. But you guys used to like throw like events, like basically like a party at a spot, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you guys, and now is that like still a thing or because of like the night market,
we've been more focused on the night market now. That's taking up most of our time because our team actually plans the whole event, not just the music portion. Oh, there's like food and vendors and there's another stage and you got to work with the city on permitting and all this stuff. So it takes a lot of work.
Is night market specifically only Punjabi music or is it?
So it's mainly Punjabi music, but we'll get some guest DJs that'll come in and like maybe mix in a little bit of Latin or hip hop. Mm-hmm. But the main sets are all like straight.
So nobody else does like a, you know, like another day they'll have like a Latin music, like just a Latin music night market or
not on the same day as ours.
There's
a Thursday market that happens in the city now. And then like Chinatown has their own market. There's a few other neighborhoods that do it, but they don't like they're not as big as ours. I mean, ours gets that crazy like festival type energy, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Super thankful
Punjabi
for that.
Music at the end of the day. Yeah, that's cool. That's dope.
Do you guys have like a, you guys have DJs, do you guys have like a dholi too? Or like somebody that like just that you guys rotate amongst them?
Yeah, so
them
we
too?
Have two dhol players as well, Gulshan and Ashi.
So
they play at every event. And then we also have a dance crew, Dhol Rhythms Dance Company. They do a dance performance and they also do a lesson in the beginning of the day, beginning of the night as
That's
well.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I've seen that. Like, I think at like Nonstop Bhangra, I think I've seen that where like, yeah, you guys have people like teaching the audience or something like
that. Yeah, they show them some basic steps. So like the people that are new to the music, they'll feel comfortable coming into it, you know?
That's cool. Are we good? How long have we been going for like an hour?
We're going for like 40 minutes, I think, right? 50 minutes. Yeah.
We good? Anything else?
Probably just close it off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, thank you so much for coming out, man. We really appreciate it. Definitely, like, full support everything that you're doing, like, making the culture proud. The EP was fire, and the night market is the same. Like, it's super sick to see you at the center of this movement that's, like, bringing people together, especially in the Bay Area, right? Because that's, like, Northern California. This is our home, right? So it's super cool to see that scene that you created, man. So, again, really appreciate your time. Yeah, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back hopefully with another guest soon enough. But yeah.
We never do this, but I mean, this is gonna be a YouTube video. But also, please like and subscribe.
We've been told to do that now. Yeah. So yeah. Appreciate the support, everybody. All right. Thank you. Peace out.
Thank you. Peace.